Living a life of bondage doesn't have to be the case, yet there is a price to pay for freedom, as we hear in this opening comment on today's edition of CNV.
Freedom is not free. Any of you that are in the military, even the spouses and child of somebody in the military, knows that freedom isn't free. Not that you may lose someone because of a combat situation, but you lose someone because of the Westpac tour, 6 months of your life separated from the person you love. Freedom is not free. And it was God Himself that came up with the concept of freedom. But to have freedom, there must first be bondage.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise You, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank You, Lord Jesus.
You've joined us for the Tuesday broadcast of Chapter and Verse as we're taking part in a continuing study of the Gospel of John led by Mike McIntosh. Chapter 8, verses 21 through 36 will be our area of study today as we see the Pharisees once again confronting Jesus on His deity. Here we see a foreshadowing of the cross and the manner in which He will die in order to pay for mankind's sins. In order to have true freedom, a price must be paid. And Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom by giving up His life on Calvary's cross. Now let's turn to the 8th chapter of John's Gospel and join Pastor Mike McIntosh from Horizon Christian Fellowship.
We're going to be looking at the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 21. Tremendous testimony. You're going to need to borrow a pen if you don't have one, because there are so many truths locked up in here. And we're going to hit several of these highlights. Then Jesus again said unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. You're going to die in your sins. Where I am going, you cannot come. And then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, where I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, here's one to underline, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. That's one you want to circle. If you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Then said they unto Him, well, who are you? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But He that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him. They understood not that He spoke to them of the Father. And then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, He's talking about the crucifixion, then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of Myself, highly accountable to God the Father, as we should be one to another. But as My Father has taught Me, and you want to triple underline that because you want to be one that says, God taught me the way I live. I speak these things. As My Father has taught Me, I speak these things. And He that sent Me is with Me. The Father has not left Me alone, nor will He ever leave you alone. For I do always those things that please Him. I do those things that please Him. I want you to notice how humble He was in the fact that He wasn't saying, okay, I'm Jesus, and this is it. He's just saying, I'm doing what My Father sent Me to do. I've humbled Myself in front of My Father. I'm only telling you things I've heard from My Father, because the Father knows all about you. I'm here to represent the Father. So I speak as My Father taught Me, and that He that sent Me is with Me. And as He spoke these words, many believed on Him. Just when the truth comes forward, it is powerful enough to open up a person's heart that they would give themselves to Him. You know, it was Dennis. It wasn't Terry. But Dennis was picked up by a hitchhiker. And Dennis was one of the brothers. And he was led to the Lord by the man that picked him up hitchhiking. And the man that told him what to do said, you need to go over to the theater on 29th and University, 30th and University. And you just need to go there. And he got on fire, and the man told him that your whole family will be saved. And one by one, when Dennis came, the rest of the family started accepting Jesus. And as they came from around the country to come to San Diego on vacation, they'd come to the church, and they would give their hearts to Jesus. You know, when you hear the truth, there's no reason why you want to run from the truth. You want to let the truth speak. And as Jesus is speaking, notice it's the people on the sidelines that are watching the dialogue. Many believed on him simply by the words that he spoke. It wasn't a service that they're in. They just listened and looked at him and said, this is the one. And so they believed on him. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Please underline this and memorize this the rest of your life. If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Memorize that verse. Because you could say I'm a Christian and you don't continue in his word, you're not his disciple. The word disciple means discipline, a disciplined one, a follower of, but a disciplined follower of. If you don't know his word, to know about him is not the same as knowing him. So he said, if you continue, you don't walk away, but you continue. That's why a daily devotion, if not a daily Bible study, is so important for us, because we learn his word. And that day, what he gives us could be just the thing that keeps us going, could spare us a lot of pain and suffering, because we'll go back to his word. If you continue in my word, you're truly my disciple indeed. I want to encourage you, continue in the words of Jesus Christ. Let those words be underlined in the heart of your soul, that you go by what Jesus goes by. You live by his creed, his motto. You love people as he loved people. You care for people. Yes, you live your life. You are on planet Earth. You are a human being. But if you will continue in his word, you'll just get to the end without any problems. You'll make it all the way. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Then. It's that continuing in his word that then starts. And here's the biggie. And you shall know the truth. And would you read these words out loud with me? And the truth. Now I'll read it all together, that whole verse. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth. It's the truth that will bring you freedom. Freedom is not free. Any of you that are in the military, even the spouses and child of somebody in the military, knows that freedom isn't free. Not that you may lose someone because of a combat situation, but you lose someone because of the Westpac tour, 6 months of your life separated from the person you love. Freedom is not free. And it was God himself that came up with the concept of freedom. But to have freedom, there must first be bondage. And many people are in bondage, not in a prison cell as a POW or a prisoner of war, but they're in bondage to what's on their screen of their computer. They're in bondage of what's in their video cassettes or their DVD. They're in bondage to the people they hang out with, the things that they talk about, the things that they do. They're in bondage to their emotions and their feelings. They're in bondage to their lusts and to their pride. To have freedom, there must first be bondage. And when you stop and think of this, probably you would say, well, the largest bondage and freedom picture of the Bible would be Pharaoh in Egypt holding the Jews for 480 years in bondage. And a savior and a deliverer and a leader named Moses came up and brought freedom to those people and led them for 40 years to the promised land. Now, I think we can go back a little bit further. And I think we can see the bigger picture. You see, that is a great story of the release of the Jews. That is tremendous stories of God working miracles. The overall picture is freedom will come when there is bondage. But there is no freedom unless there is bondage. So if you get yourself trapped and the Pharaoh of this world, Satan himself, holds on to you and makes you be a slave to sin, God has sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to shed his blood for you to set you free from this bondage. But what would you say is the greatest bondage in your life today? What would you say is the greatest bondage in the life of, let's say, the person you love the most? What would you say is the greatest bondage for the city of San Diego and the city of San Francisco? What would you say is the greatest bondage for the United States of America and the entire planet? You know what it is? It's the same thing. Sin, death. We're all going to die. You know, we weren't designed to die. We were designed to live. When Adam was created, and God put him to sleep and brought Eve out of his side by taking a bone of his rib and forming her out of his DNA and his gene pool, and she became Eve, the mother of all living, they had bliss, they had harmony, they had everything. There were no mosquitoes, there were no flies, there was nothing, anything negative at all. It was the Garden of Eden. Everything was beautiful. The planet was theirs. God tells us later in the Bible that all things were made and created for our good pleasure. But is the world really for our good pleasure? No. It's all rules and regulations that we have to come in bondage to. They're the do's and the don'ts that bring us into bondage. There weren't any don'ts except for one don't out of all God's vocabulary. Don't eat of the fruit of that tree there in the middle of the garden. In the day that you do, surely you shall die. Huh? What does he mean? Surely we'll die. You see, they knew that they were alive. They knew the concept of life. They didn't even know what death was. God introduced death. To understand God, you have to understand contrast. Because he is so loving, he does not want you to be a slave to him. He wants you to choose by your own free will and your own decision to follow him and to love him. It was in him when he made this man. He knew there would be death. He saw the outcome of everything. He's the great I am. He's the beginning and the end of everything. He could see where this thing would end up, but he wanted to give us a chance. You see, to have everything and be discontent is not unnatural to a human being, is it? Because some of you and some of your friends have sat on top of the world, and through a divorce or through a failure of morals or something, they went all the way down. We in our own city have had great people make it in politics, make it in business, and sitting on top of the world with all the power and all the fame and all the spotlights and cameras upon them. And a year later, they're in prison. You lose it all. Tremendous contrast. The biggest bondage is death. And the day you eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. What do you think it was that if you think in your life that if I could just have a little bit more money, I'd be happier? If I could just get that woman to date me, I'd be really happy. If I could make the team, boy, I'd be on top of the world. You see, no matter what we get, if God's not involved in it, we're going to be in bondage to it. You see, the concept of death, they didn't understand it. But when the devil came, he did exactly what the gospel, 1 John says from the Apostle John, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And when Satan came to Eve, he pulled that trick on her. Look at that fruit. First he challenged God. Hath God truly said? Yes, he did say. You shall not eat of this? And what happens? If you'll eat this, it is pleasant to the taste. It is pleasant to look upon. And when you finish it, you'll be wise and be like God. So lusted with the eyes, and that's where you got to watch yourself. If you look at it and lust at it, then the flesh will start lusting after it. And then the wisdom, if I could just have this, it will fulfill all my needs. It'll make me happy, but it'll kill you. The biggest bondage we all face today. You know, life is lived on so many different levels, each human being having a different point of view from one another. One thing we do know is that we have a common denominator on this planet, no matter what color our skin is, no matter what language our tongue spews out, or what our place of origin is. We're all in this together. We're going to die. Some people miss living because they're afraid of dying. You know people like that. Some people are alcoholics simply because you get to the room, I'm afraid to die. Well, why? And you talk to them. Well, you see, when I was a little girl, my mother and father were killed in an auto accident. I don't want to face death. And so they run their life away from life, trying to get away from death. And you can't get away from death. You can clone as many people as you want. But those of us that are real people, you cannot get away from death. You just can't. Some people miss living because of their fear of death. Others miss life by holding so tightly on to their position in life that they never, ever grow beyond where they are. Someone wisely said, do not be irreplaceable. If you cannot be replaced, you cannot be promoted. And there are some people, this is my little kingdom, this is my little world, this is my little corner, this is my little cubicle. And you think, well, I can't replace him. You want to be replaceable, so they can bring somebody in and give you a raise. Some people live their lives trying to gain every penny and every material possession that they can grab a hold of. Some people think that I'll go to school, I'll get my bachelor's, I'll get my MBA, I'll go out into the business world, I'll get my law degree, I'll be the CEO of this, I'll get a desk and a title and my own parking space, and I'll have a window in my office. And you think of all these little silly things that people think give them status. And they hold on so tightly that they miss their spouses, they miss their kids, they miss their cousins and their nieces and their aunts and their uncles and their grandparents, and they miss those holidays together, and they miss sitting around the table and laughing over a piece of turkey. They miss opening up the gift. They go shopping at the last minute because their life is wound so tight. They're holding on to so much. People aren't what life is about to these kind of people. Things are. You've all heard the story of the guy that was so greedy and such a miser. He had so much. He told his wife, and he was so mean to his wife, and he had millions. He said, I want you to guarantee me that when I die, you'll put all of my money in the coffin with me. All of it. I want a large coffin. I want all the money right there in that coffin. I said, yes, dear. So the day came that he died. It was an open coffin. And as everybody was leaving the room, as they were going out to the graveside, the wife walked up with a manila envelope and placed it on the man's chest. And as she was walking out, her best friend said, what are you doing? He told you to fill up his casket with all of his money, put all of his wealth in there. She said, well, I did. But you just put an envelope there. Yeah, I wrote him a check. Don't hold on. It's the people that are sitting next to you probably that are the most important in your life. You need to realize that. It's the people you go out and play volleyball with. It's the people you catch the wave with. It's the people you ride your bikes with. It's the people you go hiking with. It's the people you go fishing with. It's the people you go jogging with. It's the people you work with. It's not about a few moments that everything's good and the rest of the day you're just up tight and pushing and shoving. And then all of a sudden, okay, now I'm happy. No, it's all day like that. Filled with the grace of God. So he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage. We're never in bondage to any man. How do you say you shall be made free? Now that's a lie. They were in bondage. They've been taken prisoners by Nebuchadnezzar, by Pharaoh. Many, many battles they're in. Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say to you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. So he'll get rid of that sin. Now circle this. This is the third major one for you to remember. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You know, on the other hand, there are people that are extremely myopic. They're just very narrow-minded. Their view of life in general is just very small. Everything orbits around them. It may be where they are geographically, could be their pride, could be their culture, their upbringing. But these people, though seemingly shallow, still know that life and death are real. And I want to ask you before we go home this morning, what are your feelings about death? Do you run from it? Are you afraid of it? I can tell you this. This is one issue we all have in common. We all face the quote-unquote inevitable. Statistics tell us that 1,000 people out of every 1,000 die. We all die. There's no way around it. Now, death brings fear because it's unknown. And when you get to the end of your life, and you've gone too far that you've crossed a line, you may have something to fear. Because that which you've resisted all your life, you're going to see face to face very soon. The God who made you, the God who always loved you, and gave you a zillion opportunities to take care of this issue. It's not an issue of let's be religious and build a temple. It's not an issue of, well, let's get a lot of gold and silver and stained glass windows and let's be fancy dance and just have the coolest religion around. No, it's just about you. The whole issue is about you. Man has done all that. It's about you living forever. That's what it's about. Now, this body can't live forever. So therefore, in 1 Corinthians 15, we are told that there's a body that is made of the elements of the heaven. Paul the Apostle said there is body terrestrial and body celestial. The word terrestrial literally means made up of the elements of the earth. This body that all of us have is made up of the same exact elements of clay, of dirt, the same elements. He made Adam out of the clay, out of the dirt. You are dirt. That's it. You're just clay. And when it's over with, it all disintegrates and it goes back to dirt. So you think you're cool? Come on. There must be more to it than that. Celestial comes from the word that means made up of the elements of the heavens. There is a body for you that the moment you leave this body, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and your spirit comes out of this old clay pot, it goes into a new body that'll never feel pain. It'll never, ever disintegrate. It'll not get wrinkles. It will not fall apart. There'll be no bursitis. There'll be no arthritis. There'll be no pain whatsoever. It'll never die. And it'll be filled with eternal power of happiness and joy. It's waiting for you. It's yours. Now, I see that about a third of you applauded to that. The other third is saying, I haven't had my coffee yet. I don't know what you're talking about. Another third is saying, I don't know. I really like this world. I love the smell of the onions and the leeks and the garlic. These things of the world, they just feel good, taste good, look good, make me feel good. But I'll tell you what, young or old, when your time is up, it's up. And the chances are all gone. But when you leave this body so quickly that the closest they can get to the definition of twinkle is 1/1 trillionth of a second, and you're presented a new body. If I were to say, listen, over at Nordstrom's, you can go into Nordstrom's now, ladies and gentlemen. You can have the most expensive suit you want for free. You can have the most expensive dress you want for free. For the rest of your life, you can go in and take them off the rack and nobody will stop you. Forever. Till the day you die. Now, I doubt very much that there'd be anybody here that didn't go get a new set of clothing, the most expensive. But you see, what the church misses, myself also as a minister of the church, is we forget to make it so simple that all this is about is you getting a free suit. You got a new body waiting for you. And all we have to do is point to the direction where you go to get this. And you can't get there in this body. It's going to be down the line either this afternoon or 100 years from now. We know that we'll all have these new suits on. And then to show you how to get there, the church is not the way to get there. The preacher, the evangelist, the pastor is not the way to get there. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. And the church's responsibility, the minister's responsibility, the preacher, the pastor, the priest's responsibility is to point the direction to him as he said, I only tell you the things the Father has shown me. It's that simple. The whole situation is about you living forever. Forever! At no cost. Whoops, there was a cost. Freedom is not free. God so loved the world, he paid the price. He gave his only begotten Son. Tremendous cost. God had to feel all the anguish and pain that you have felt as his creatures. And his Son had to take all the sin and the wrongdoing upon himself. But if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. Religion can free you for a moment. If you've got a bad back, a massage or a chiropractor may release some things for a little while. But it's not indeed the true healing. It's not the thing that'll take you on forever. Only Jesus Christ can do that.
With that, we bring to a close our study for today. Join us again tomorrow when we'll once again focus on the fact that a great price was paid for us to be free from sin. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through John, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com. As we close our broadcast for today, I'd like to remind you the Chapter and Verse is heard each weekday on this radio station thanks to the financial gifts we receive from you, our listening audience. If you've been ministered to through this outreach, please consider making a financial gift. And of course, we very much appreciate you taking a moment to pray for us here at CNV Radio. You can write to us at Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. That's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. You can also give online securely at MikeMacintosh.com. Be with us tomorrow as Mike continues our series in John. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.